And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com and viewing and listening to all of our previous episodes over there on the website. Hopefully you had a great weekend, a pretty nice one across southeastern North Carolina. We start off this morning with a story we covered in great detail last week as it related to the New Hanover County Board of Education. A special meeting was set 2 p.m. Friday afternoon for the board to deal with a censure motion, not a censor, as we'll hear from many of the board members, but a censure motion against a Democrat, Tim Merrick. Now, let me lay out what we know publicly. I'm sure there's a lot more privately that's available and understood, but from what we know publicly, and by the way, you can text in your comments this morning at 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425. What I understand the story from piecing together things that have been released publicly by the Board of Education, from looking at posts made on social media by some of the board members in question, it seems how this whole thing played out is that there was a teacher in violation of the display policy within the school system. Now, we covered that on Thursday's show. I encourage you to go check out Thursday's episode where we went through the display policy and everything that is at question. This was something that came out early last year from the Board of Education. The display policy was changed to not allow certain things to be in classrooms, and it very narrowly tailors the sort of things that can be displayed by teachers to things like flags from the United States, the state of North Carolina, school flags, like whether it be the school that they're in or some sort of college or other higher institution. Those kinds of things are what is in the display policy that is the policy of the New Hanover County school system. And as I mentioned on Thursday, you can think the policy's stupid, you cannot like the policy, you can think it's bad and it's unjust, but it is in fact the policy. And so if you are an educator within the school system, your employer has set this policy for you. Again, you don't have to agree with it, but it is the policy. And so you have one of two options. You can either play by the policy set by your employer, or you can go seek employment elsewhere. I mean, those are the two options available at your discretion as an employee. You don't get to say that, well, to hell with this policy, screw this policy, I'm just going to do it anyway, right? That's not how this process works. You are an employee of the school system. The school board, which is elected by the community at large as a whole, elects individuals onto the school board, a governing body, to make policies about things like the display policy. Like what can be flown, what can be shown within a classroom. They set curriculum, all of the things that come out of the school board. It is a duly elected body dealing with things that are relevant to the educators, to the employees of the school system. All right, you don't get to choose whether you follow the policies or not. So from everything that I've gathered publicly, there was a teacher that was flying, according to Tim Merrick in his own postings on his own Facebook page. There's no sort of secret confidential information here, reading directly from Tim Merrick's Facebook page. There was a teacher within the school district that had a 2-inch pride flag in their classroom. This is what Tim Merrick posted on his Facebook. Some sort of pride flag in their classroom. That is very much against policy of the New Hanover County School Board. That is against policy of the Board of Education, of the employees working within the school system. So Tim Merrick inserted himself into that process, as we have learned over the last couple of weeks. He inserted himself into that process and broke policy. He was usurped himself into the process. The disciplinary actions of a teacher are handled by the superintendent. So if a teacher is breaking policy, if a parent complains, I guess the same thing with a student, maybe, I don't know. Student or parent complains to the school system and says, hey, there's a policy in place. You have a teacher that is flying a pride flag in the classroom in the face of policy enacted by the Board of Education, and then a disciplinary, this is how I assume it works, then the school system investigates it, and then they begin the process of a potential disciplinary action if that is fit, right? That's how this process works. the school board does not insert themselves in the process. And we'll hear from board member David Perry in a little bit in one of his clips from Friday's meeting why school board members do not insert themselves into this process. It's very important. There's a very important reason why that does not happen. So that's where everything essentially, as we understood everything leading into Friday's meeting, that's where we stood. You had a teacher seemingly in violation of policy. It was being investigated by the school system, as it should be, by the superintendent, and a board member attempted to insert themselves into that process. That was balked at by the chair of the school board in Melissa Mason, as it is against policy and does potentially create a serious issue for the school board going forward. She attempted to speak to Dr. Tim Merrick and attempted to tell him what he was doing was not proper, was against policy. He continued to lash out. She then stripped away his committee assignments for 2 months temporarily. He was not supposed to show up to meetings, was not supposed to show up to these committee meetings. This has been standard practice within the school system, and he did it anyway. He decided still to show up to the meetings. He decided to put on a trick and pony show about how woe is him and he's being treated so unfairly and this is so terrible and awful. And I did nothing wrong. I'm a martyr, even though I broke policy, even though I'm acting as like an activist, as an elected official. Woe is me. I'm Dr. Tim Merrick, right? That was the trick and pony show that he played out at the various meetings that he still showed up to after being told by the chair, you're not going to be members of these committees for 2 months. Right, so that's kind of the background. That's the stage as to where we sat as we went into Friday's meeting. Now, I read through the motion on Thursday's show, but I'd like to play a clip from the meeting. Here is the chair of the Board of Education, Melissa Mason, reading through the motion that she drafted and brought forward to the rest of her colleagues. Now, this is just the motion. She doesn't get into any of the details. She gets into that later. But this was Melissa Mason Friday during the Board of Education meeting, reading through this motion to censure Board of Education member Tim Merrick. Here we go.
Whereas allegations that certain board members had potentially violated board policies 2010 and 2122 and other provisions dealing with the proper roles of the board and superintendent in handling personnel matters, including employee supervision and disciplinary actions, have recently been brought to the attention of Board Chair Mason. And whereas upon investigation of these allegations, Board Chair Mason concluded that the allegations were credible and specifically determined that the evidence supported the conclusion that Board Member Dr. Tim Merrick had violated board policies by intervening in an employment matter that involved an employee disciplinary action, and that board member Dr. Merrick's actions directly undermined his ability to impartially and fairly carry out certain of his judicial functions pursuant to Board Policy 1010, performing judicial functions regarding personnel matters, Board Policy 2500, hearing employment grievance appeals, Board Policy 2322, remaining impartial in judicial matters, and North Carolina General Statute 115C-45C3, and that the circumstances suggested that Board Member Dr. Merrick was aware that his actions likely breached his obligations to the board and the school system, and whereas Board Chair Mason determined that corrective action was warranted and further determined that the appropriate corrective action would be to suspend Board Member Dr. Merrick from participating in committee assignments for approximately 2 months to allow time for him to demonstrate a willingness to carry out his duties in compliance with board policy. And whereas Board Member Dr. Merrick subsequently sought to evade and or frustrate both the intent and substance of the corrective measures directed by Board Chair Mason by directly contacting other non-board committee members and soliciting them to invite him to join in committee meetings as a concerned citizen, and Board Member Dr. Merrick further aggravated the situation by disclosing details about the specific personnel matter that formed the basis for his suspension from committee assignments in violation of Board Policy 2125/7315, describing confidentiality of personnel information and potentially in violation of Article 21A of Chapter 115C of the North Carolina General Statutes. And whereas, due to the seriousness of these violations and what appears to be a demonstrated pattern of disregard for board policies and a lack of remorse, the board desires to take action to protect the rights of the school system and to uphold the standards, reasonable expectations, and integrity of the board. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the New Hanover County Board of Education does hereby censure Board Member Dr. Tim Merrick and express its strong disapproval of his actions for the reasons articulated above.
So a lot to chew on there from the motion brought forth by the Board of Education Chairwoman Melissa Mason. But again, the process is pretty clear on this. The layout is pretty clear. He inserted himself into a process which in turn does not allow him to then go forward if a teacher is disciplined. This is how I understand it. If a teacher is disciplined within the school district, they can appeal that decision to the Board of Education, right? That is their final appeal process. The superintendent hands down some sort of decision based on whatever was done or whatever was not done. And then a teacher is allowed to appeal that decision of the superintendent to the Board of Education. Tim Merrick swiped away his own right to do that by inserting himself into the process. Right. So right in there, he's if this was to come forward, he would have to recuse himself going forward, dealing anything with this specific individual and these specific actions. Right. He has muddied the water for a potential appeal from the teacher that he was supposedly trying to help. Then Melissa goes through Board Chair Melissa Mason goes through the process of explaining, hey, talk to him, went through the process. Told him, hey, for 2 months, you're not going to sit on these committees. And then what does he do? He then reaches out to the heads of the various committees and says, well, hey, don't invite me as Dr. Tim Merrick, the great doctor. Don't invite me as Dr. Tim Merrick to be at your meeting. Invite me as a concerned citizen. Right? Because that's how Democrats operate. They don't believe that their actions ever hold any consequence. So to fly in the face of the board chair, he says, well, to hell with you, to hell with the board. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Typical Democrat proceeding. I don't like what you did. And instead of taking my slap on the wrist, instead of having to own up to what I did, I'm just going to usurp you and go around you. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want because I feel it's right and I feel it's just. That's how Tim Merrick acted. I mean, look at this post on Facebook. He posted this Thursday on Facebook. No good deed goes unpunished. Please consider donating to my Defense of Teachers and Student Fund. It will help me cover fees and legal expenses with a link to an ACT Blue page. This guy is a flaming progressive activist. It's obvious in the way that he acts, in the way that he portrays himself. He speaks at very far left-wing events that take place in our community. He is an activist. And he acted as an activist. He got slapped down to reality by the Board of Education chair, and he decided to lash out. So that's the resolution. That's what was brought forward to the Board of Education for them to decide should their fellow colleague be censured or not. We then will transition into some comments from Judy Justice, who also has been censured by the school board in the past for acting as an activist, for disrupting meetings and acting out of turn for what a school board member should, right? Because we always hear this gaslighting from the left about, oh, we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard, right? We are the ones protecting democracy, all of these phenomenal things that they talk about. Yet they act a foul, they act a fool, and it's not their fault. It's your fault. It's the damn Republicans on the Board of Education. It's their fault that Democrats act in a hyper-partisan activist manner and then have to get slapped back down to reality. It's not their fault, right? They did nothing wrong. They never have. It's just always everybody else's fault. Typical Democrat projection. So here's Judy Justice describing how she sees how this situation unfolded at the board meeting. Take a listen.
I know that we all are up here because technically, we keep saying we care about the kids and what's best for our schools. You can't hear? Because, can you hear me okay over there? Okay, we are here because technically we all ran for office and say we are here what's best for our kids. In order to do what's best for our kids, we need to look at what's best for our staff because those are intertwined. You can't separate them. This all revolves around our staff and supporting them or not supporting them, according to some people's points of view. And I said this earlier that I've got more experience on the board than I think Mr. Wilderbor. We both got the same amount. So we will do things a lot more thoughtfully and experienced than, say, the new board members. Mr. Merritt's one of the newest. Mr. Perry, mistakes are going to be made until you get your feet on the ground. And when you're trying to support the staff, you don't always, you know, until you get that experience, you don't always possibly think in the way that policy comes first. And I think this is what has happened in this case, is that you can find policies just about for anything, and our policies do conflict at times. But this be, you know, the behavior that he's being accused of worthy of censoring, and I've said it, I think it was a rookie mistake, but it was done in the best of intentions, and it was protecting in his mind, and I was actually involved in the same pattern, but I knew what to do. I referred it to policy because I'm experienced and he wasn't. So at this point, I think he's learned. We've all learned. I don't believe that we need.
And I'm going to pause the great Judy Justice right there. This idea that, okay, so she admits he made a mistake. He did not act in the way that he should have. She goes, it's a rookie mistake. And here's the thing. There's a lot of truth to that. I'm not going to argue that point. You're on a, you've been on a board of education now, like little over almost 4 months at this point. You're relatively new to the position from everything I've gathered. It's not the first time Tim Merrick has run for a public office, but it's the first time he's won an office. So it's the first time he's dealing with a governing body. There's nothing wrong with giving somebody grace. There's nothing wrong with going through this process and saying, you screwed up on this. We need to correct this. But see, that's what was done. And we'll hear from Melissa Mason here in a little bit as to the corrective actions and measures that she took to attempt to work with Tim Merrick. But as we heard from her resolution, when she attempted to make these corrective actions, when she attempted to have private one-on-one conversations with him, he acted like a complete and total jerk. He then went out of his way to inflame the situation both publicly and privately, crying to the media about this horrific action that's being taken against him, encouraging individuals to invite him to meetings of which he was told not to attend as a concerned citizen. This whole thing revolves around the fact that Tim Merrick did not learn his lesson, that he decided he was going to act in defiance of the Board of Education. I'm all for giving somebody a break, especially a new member, to what is a very complicated form of government. But when that member indicates that they have no interest in following the procedures, when they are going to fly in defiance of the chair and just do whatever the hell they want, that's when all of that goodwill goes away. And that's why we were in the discussion and the situation we were on Friday. Not because Tim Merrick said, oh crap, I screwed up. I'm very sorry for what I did. None of that was ever said. Now, of course, it was then said on Friday. I'll get to that in a minute. But that was never said beforehand. He continued to be in defiance and had to be slapped back down to reality. So I appreciate and I see where Judy Justice is coming from. But what do you do when a member continues to be in defiance? Well, the board has to censure them or move forward with some sort of additional disciplinary action if they see fit. I mean, it's the only way around it.
Need to be doing censoring. The level of this reaction is out of bounds as far as helping our kids and our staff.
Ah, yes.
Please, hey, don't do that. Please. You guys,
pause for a second. I'm trying to make sure that all board members have the opportunity to speak. And when you are loud like that, Ms. Justice doesn't get that opportunity and Dr. Merrick doesn't get that opportunity. So please give Ms. Justice the respect to let her finish her thoughts.
Now, I'll note here that, of course, the room was full of a bunch of Democrat activists. Now, this happened at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, so in typical Democrat form, right, they don't work or have anything going on. So the room was packed with progressive radical Democrats who, of course, have nothing better going on and definitely don't have a job to be at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, who spent the vast majority of the meeting hooting and hollering, yelling and screaming at members of the Board of Education in typical Democrat fashion, right? The party of tolerance, the party of inclusion, right? Hearing what everybody has to say, being inclusive with your thoughts, of course, shouting down anybody that they disagree with because, again, yeah, typical Democrat hypocrisy.
I really know you guys are all here for the same best intentions, the same way Dr. Merrick is, the same way people give voice up here to saying they're doing that. I really wish that we would not have this motion pass. I wish that we would just go right ahead and move forward without any form of censoring. It's not going to have any effect except he's now been censored. And I've been through this process before, and it actually, I've said this, it actually helped me. at this point, it looks like it possibly has helped, but it's not helping the board, and it's not helping the kids. So this, please, let's not go further. This is my take. We really going further in this is not serving anybody. We've learned a lot, and we need to work together for what's best for the kids.
I love that line from the left, and Judy Justice plays it every meeting. Anytime something happens that she disagrees with, it's not good for the kids. That is Judy Justice's clutch for any time that there is a problem within the school system. Anytime somebody on the board does something she disagrees with, if there's a policy, an action, a decision, it's always the same talking point from her. She did it on her first term on the school board. She's doing it again now. This isn't helping the kids. This is not helping the students. An attempt to completely blow away any legitimate concerns that are being made by saying this doesn't help students. And she even said it at the beginning. I thought and I assumed everybody who ran for school board was trying to do best for the children. I assumed that's what everybody was running for, indicating that, of course, the Republican members on the board are not, right? Because it's only the Democrats that care about the kids. It's only the Democrats that care about students and care about educators. It's a complete farcical analogy that is drawn, but it's something that they go back to time and time again. So you've heard the motion. You've heard the resolution that was brought forward. You've heard some of the comments from other board members. Now it's time to hear from Tim Merrick himself. This is a lengthy clip. I'm not going to play all of it. It's about 8 minutes. I'll just start it off here. This is how Tim Merrick started the defense of himself, as he claimed he didn't get due process. Here's him discussing all of the things that he did or didn't do during the board meeting on Friday.
I have a lot of insinuations made about me. I have a lot of accusations made about me about this resolution, and I would like to answer them one by one. The first one that is mentioned in the resolution is policy 2010, the board and superintendent relations. I know that a lot of folks out here don't know what the policies are, so I'll try to do my best to explain. In terms of board and superintendent relations, I think I have a pretty good relationship with our superintendent. We don't always agree, but we speak candidly and we respect each other. What I think the chair is saying about this specific incident, although it wasn't clear in the resolution, is that she feels I interfered with the superintendent's duties. I decried an unfair and hateful policy that was impacting a staff member.
And see, there you go, folks. There it is. An unjust and an unfair policy. Tim, you don't get to decide whether a policy is unjust or unfair. Now, you can vote to change the policy. You can vote to say, I don't like this policy. I think this policy is stupid. But the policy is, in fact, enacted by the board. You don't get to pick and choose which policies you agree with and which ones you don't. If you think the display policy is stupid, then advocate to change it. But that you do not have carte blanche to run around the school district and encourage individuals to break the policy because you believe it's unfair and you believe it's unjust. Listen to the words that he uses. And this goes to the point that Tim Merrick is an activist within the school system. An activist. Listen to what he says. His words, not mine.
Feels I interfered with the superintendent's duties. I decried an unfair and hateful policy that was impacting a staff member. I believe, and the staff member's email supports, that my conversation felt supportive and they were grateful for it. And in fact, policy 1010 states, the board considers some of its most significant duties to being an advocate for our employees. Our staff members need advocates, especially in the face of dismissive and damaging policies. So to say I was interfering with the superintendent seems also contradicted by policy 2122, quote, board members are always available to receive input, comments, and complaints from parents, employees, and members of the public. It's going to take some time, so I appreciate you, but let me talk. Open communication between the public and board members is valued and encouraged. Board members may be contacted by telephone, email, or other modes of communication. It's also important to remember that I didn't give up my First Amendment rights to speak with a constituent who contacted me about their difficulties.
Now, this is a typical Democrat reframing of a situation. First of all, Tim, you don't have First Amendment rights. The First Amendment protects you against the government, like the federal government or a state government or a local government. I didn't give up my First Amendment rights to discuss something with a constituent. Nobody's accusing you of having a discussion with a teacher. There's nothing wrong with having a discussion with a teacher. That is, I would argue, a keen point in your position as a Board of Education member. What the issue that you decided that you were going to cause for yourself, and that's the key thing here, issue that you caused for yourself was to insert yourself into a disciplinary procedure that was taking place within the school system. Having communications with an educator is not a problem. When you are encouraging an educator to do something, and what we'll find out, we learned later on in the meeting from board member Josie Barnhart, that Tim Merrick knew what he was doing was wrong and tried to hide it away, right? Goes to the intent as to what poor old Tim Merrick was doing. He wasn't attempting to do anything wrong. He claims it was a hurtful and hateful policy that was enacted by the board. Nobody's claiming you can't speak with educators. But what you can't do is insert yourself as an elected member of the school board into a disciplinary process for a teacher who, by the way, under the same vein, is also acting as an activist, right? Because they can't put their radical political ideology aside and want to do whatever they want in the classroom, even though it's against policy. More from Tim Merrick.
The next one is the role of board members in handling complaints. That's policy 2122. In this, I think it's been suggested that my actions interfered with a potential disciplinary action. There was no disciplinary action, and I can't be accused of a hypothetical future event. In fact, I encouraged the staff member to follow policy, even though I thought the policy was very unwise and I had no problem exercising my First Amendment rights to say so in support of a staff member on the brink of quitting because of this policy. This policy also says I must stay neutral on matters that come before the board in a grievance hearing. In fact, on the issue of guilt or innocence of the staff member, I never gave an opinion. I was absolutely neutral. My opinion about policy is not the issue of the grievance committee. The grievance committee does not rule on an immorality of a policy. So let's talk about the board's interference with Superintendent Faust's ruling on the book stamped. That happened. The teacher involved was maligned, okay?
Sir, so, we need to keep it germane to this particular.
Well, I hear you say that. I agree
resolution.
That this is not directly in the resolution.
Which is why we need to stay germane to this resolution, please.
Yeah, though the policy states that the board member may refer the complainant to the superintendent. It does not say must. And for those of you in the legal field, you know there's a big difference between the word may and must.
No, he's an attorney.
I was also accused of violating 1010, board authorities and duties. Performing judicial functions by conducting hearings as appropriate or as required by law regarding decisions of school system personnel or the board. Again, there was no judicial function pending. And unlike some of our state Supreme Court members, I declared I would recuse myself. However,
proving do you just not hear the activism dripping off this guy talking about state Supreme Court members? This guy is a full-blown, full-throated activist. He doesn't shy away from it. Is this a guy that you hear any remorse in his voice? None. Typical Democrat fashion. It doesn't get any better than this, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't get any better. Having to throw in all of these little things here and there. Bringing up ungermane topics from previous superintendents years ago on the Board of Education. It's absurd. But this is how the left operates. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm supposed to feel so sorry and so sad for Tim Merrick. I'm supposed to be bawling my eyes out this morning for how unfairly he's being treated. Give me a break.
As stated already, I remain neutral on the question of guilt. There's another policy mentioned in the resolution 2322, but there is no such policy. I think, and I'm going to take a guess here, that the policy was actually 2342. And so let me answer that just in case it was. This policy, the chair meant to say that I broke. While I shouldn't have to defend it because it's not actually a resolution, let's try. The policy states a board member must vote on all issues unless the member has a conflict of interest or is unable to remain impartial in a judicial matter before the board. If a board member recuses himself or herself from a vote, the member will state the reason before the vote is taken and the reason will be recorded in the minutes. It doesn't say if a member recuses themselves, they will be censured. There was no hearing to recuse myself from, and so no reason to abridge my First Amendment rights. The next thing I'm accused of is a little disturbing because I'm being accused of violating a state statute. And it is State Statute 115C-45C3. Appeals to Board of Education. An appeal shall lie to the local Board of Education from any final administrative decision in the following manners: the terms or conditions of employment or employment status of a school employee. This reference to the North Carolina statute was included, I presume, to make this case seem more official or to intimidate me. It has already been answered above. I was not involved in a grievance hearing. There was no grievance hearing.
But see, this is the issue. Tim Merrick goes, well, there didn't end up being a hearing. There didn't the employee wasn't disciplined to the point where there needed to be a grievance hearing. But the issue is, at the time when he inserted himself into the process, we didn't know that was the case. When he decided to insert himself into this the complaint against a teacher who was flying a LGBTQ pride flag in the classroom, according to him, we didn't know that there wasn't a dispute here. We didn't know that the board was not going to have to step in and rule on it. He decided to insert himself into a process that he shouldn't have. Do you hear Judy Justice talked about, oh, a board member, you know, they show remorse. Do you hear any remorse in Tim Merrick's voice? We're almost 6 minutes through his comments. He says he didn't do anything wrong. He has nothing to apologize for. This is just a big farce being brought against him. Big scam going against Tim Merrick for all the great work that he's doing in the school system. That's what he claims, right?
So even so, I had already said I would recuse myself, and that is not a censurable item. Our attorney has also assured me that this charge, this third-degree misdemeanor charge, would never stick in court. Further proof that its inclusion here is largely for intimidation.
Ah, intimidation.
Boy, how far do we go on this? 2125/7315 is a policy around confidential article, around confidential information. And for time, I'm going to answer it at the same time as the assertion that I violated Article 21A of the North Carolina General Statute 115C. This relates to an employee's personnel file. And I know that the news has picked up with the idea that somehow I went into this teacher's personnel file and made it public. Anyone who thinks I had access to or shared information from a personnel file is grossly mistaken. I don't even...
Another disingenuous misframing from Tim Merrick. Tim, nobody thinks that you went into a filing cabinet somewhere within the school system's central office and grabbed a personnel file. That's not what the charge is. It's that you provided information to the public that could have potentially identified a teacher that was in the process of potentially being disciplined for breaking school policy. Nobody's accusing you of sneaking into a back office. He goes into this nonsense. Oh, this would have been the equivalent of me releasing their social security number. I don't think anybody is making that accusation. But when you go on your Facebook page and post about what was happening in a classroom, when you speak at a committee meeting that you're not supposed to be at and give out pertinent details that could very much identify the teacher, identify the school, and identify the classroom in which this happened. That's the personnel information that you're accused of breaking. But again, because he doesn't want to accept any responsibility for his actions, he claims, oh, I didn't release their social security number to the public. That's literally what he says. Take a listen to this. It's absurd.
I don't even know where these files exist, and I don't know how to access them. However, if taken to the extreme, the extreme definition of a personnel file would be simply if I had told someone's name or their social security number, that could be considered a personnel file. I didn't. I was very, very careful because this teacher was so scared of retribution. I have not given out that information. I've been very careful. Beyond this, and quite importantly, two legal opinions I received this week said that because the staff member approached me and gave me their information, they surrendered their rights to confidentiality. I'm not an employer. So I heard from our lawyer that says, yeah, but there's an employment situation where you're the employer. I am not. I only have one employee, and that's sitting two doors down here. I am not an employer for the students, for the teachers. Despite this, I have worked overtime to keep the identity of the staff member private. Because this district, and especially this board, has a deep and strong history, a reputation for reprisals, I understand why this teacher was scared.
Oh, yes. The poor teacher that decided to, as Tim Merrick described, again, not any sort of confidential information that I have access to, but from Tim Merrick's own words, a teacher who decided to fly a 2-inch pride flag in their classroom. A teacher that was knowingly and willingly breaking school policy. A teacher that decided she was not or he was not going to go forward and follow policy that was enacted by the school board. He makes this comment, the school board's got a past of retaliating against teachers. I think the school board has a policy of holding individuals within the school system accountable. If you want to be an activist, go find employment somewhere outside of the school system. Go work for some left-wing NGO. If you want to be an activist, then go do it elsewhere. Don't do it with my taxpayer dollars inside the New Hanover County school system. That's why the display policy was originally passed, right? We talked about this on Thursday. Why was it that the Board of Education had to pass this policy? Because left-wing activists who are educators within the New Hanover County school system brought it upon themselves to bring their political ideology and their political agenda into the classroom. That's why the school board passed the policy. Tim Merrick thinks the school board, the policy is unjust. He thinks that it's disgusting and despicable. But let's look at the root cause as to why this had to be brought forward in the first place. Because left-wing activists could not stop themselves from bringing their wacko political ideology and agenda into your kids' classrooms. That's it. That's it. From beginning to end. How did we get to this point? Because Democrats could not behave themselves. Because Democrat activists felt the need to shove their political ideology in the face of your children in the public school system. So you can think it's unjust all you want. Maybe we should look at the left-wing activists that caused this to have to go forward. And apparently this educator who decided they were going to do whatever they wanted and still fly a, quote, 2-inch pride flag in their classroom. That's the situation. Now, this is probably my favorite part of the meeting. We've listened to 8 minutes of Tim Merrick blabbing on about how he's done nothing wrong. It's nothing is his fault. The policy is unjust. The school system is this, that. But he decided in public with all of his supporters in the room that he encouraged to show up to the school board meeting that he finally had just a little bit of remorse in his heart. And he apologized to the Board of Education chair. Great guy, phenomenal guy, Tim Merrick. Take a listen to how disingenuous this next exchange is.
There's also the accusation in there that I frustrated her attempts to follow her discipline. According to Policy 2230, A chair makes policy, makes committee assignments once a year. It does not say in that policy that the chair then can take them away. It has been our tradition, and I'm willing to follow the tradition, but it is not policy. By strict legal interpretation, I was allowed to be in that meeting because I'm a citizen, and you can't tell me I can't go to a meeting. But even though it's not improper, I get that it felt like a stab, or as she said, it felt like I was giving her the middle finger.
Well, you were. I mean, let's just be clear and honest about this. Tim, you were. And he even admits that he was. But even in all of this, maybe it seemed like still no recollection, still no ability to say what I did was wrong. It may seem like what I was doing was wrong, but it wasn't really wrong. Seemed like I was giving you the middle finger. Tim, you were. You were intentionally showing up to these meetings and turning it into a trick and pony show so that you could be the victim in all of this. Poor Tim Merrick had to be disciplined by the board chair because he can't act appropriately in his job as a board member. You decided to do that. Nobody else forced you to do it. And he keeps going back to this constitutional right garbage. Tim Merrick doesn't give a damn about the Constitution. In his far-left political agenda, he'll trample all over your rights day in and day out as long as it justifies his political agenda. I love to see the left beginning to talk about constitutional rights. Like, they care at all about your constitutional rights. They never have. They never will. But when it's convenient for their political argument, they'll claim, oh, look at me, I'm a constitutional scholar all of a sudden. Let's hear from the constitutional scholar, Tim Merrick.
And maybe I kind of was, not consciously, but I was upset because I felt I was trying to help a teacher and I was being punished for it. And maybe I didn't do it quite the right way. Maybe I...
Oh, you don't say.
I could have had extra steps in there. Maybe I could have said, hey, let's talk to the superintendent. Let's do this. Let's do that. I agree. Maybe I wasn't perfect. But there's a difference between the intent and the letter. I was there standing in support of a teacher who was terribly afraid of public reprisal, of losing their job. And even though, you know, this...
You know, let me stop this. What is this? The teacher losing their job over what? Over knowingly breaking a policy? That's what's at the root of discussion here. You had an educator within the school system that was purposefully doing things against policy set up by the Board of Education. I'm standing in support of that teacher. So you're standing in support of educators breaking policies because you don't agree with them. Is that the standard that we want to set within the school system? Again, you can think the policy stupid, but then you have to change it. Your option is to change the policy or deal with it. Now, for Tim Merrick, he's not going to be able to change the policy because Democrats don't have a majority on the school board. If you'll remember back to 2022, Republicans swept the Board of Education, won 4 seats, took over control from Democrats who had shut down the school system during COVID, had decided that it was a good idea to allow your kids to sit on Zoom calls for a year and a half because they were afraid that everybody was just going to drop dead of COVID-19. Right? Republicans won a countywide election allowing them to have control of the school board and enact policies that the public supported, like the display policy. But Tim Merrick, he was just fighting the man. What a joker.
Superintendent will tell you, no, that was never going to happen. How do they know that? So I want to apologize to Madam Chair that I sat in that meeting and that I told other people, hey, folks, I can't come to your meeting because she told me I couldn't. And I don't think it's right, but so be it. So in some ways, I was not improper, but I was impertinent. That's the word I'm looking for. And this committee is going to do what they're going to do. I don't have any questions about that. But in closing, 2 things of the utmost importance I need to say about this decision. The staff member in question has asked this board not to censure. The staff member who these guys are saying I somehow stepped on their rights. That staff member wrote to the board and said, what are you doing? Shame on you.
Oh, wait. So the same activist educator that decided to fly a pride flag in the classroom, who is obviously an activist Democrat, broke the policy and then was so afraid of having to deal with consequences. Oh, I'm going to lose my job. Well, then maybe you should have not broken the policy. Again, so the same activist educator then emails the Board of Education and says, don't censure the other Democrat activist on the board, Tim Merrick. That's a shock and a huge surprise to me. I can't imagine that would happen. I can't imagine that an activist educator who decided to fly a pride flag in the classroom in the face of board policy was then frustrated and then also emailed the board and said, don't censure Democrat Tim Merrick because he's also an activist. That is truly shocking and profound for me to hear this morning.
That's important. No, it's not. That staff member, here's the other thing about that. That staff member wrote anonymously to the board. And what does that tell you? We have a lot of work to do to regain the trust of our teachers, our students, and our parents. But that also includes me. I also have to be more careful with the policies. And even if I didn't violate them, as one of the members here said, boy, I was right up to the edge of it, you know? And in order to gain the trust of this board, I need to be more careful. There's a difference between being an advocate and an activist and a diplomat. And I fear that I have supported many of the people in the public through my activism, but I also have to measure that and be diplomatic as well. So for that, I apologize.
But he didn't actually apologize for anything. He still claims that what he did wasn't improper. Says it was impertinent, but it wasn't improper. So in 3.5 minutes, kind of an apology, but not really, because still unwilling to accept any sort of responsibility for his actions. So there's Tim Merrick's soliloquy. I want to now transition over to David Perry, who I thought made a really solid argument as to why this is a big deal. And David Perry admits in his comments, hey, I'm a new board member. This has been a learning curve for me as well. I've had to go through this process and learn about how to act within board norms, which is very real and very realistic for a new member to an elected board. But there's a learning curve, just like with anything else that you do in life. But I thought the point that he made was really, really solid. Here's David Perry Friday afternoon.
I think the important thing to do is when we do make mistakes, I'm human, I make them, is that we try to rectify them, apologize for them, and move on and try to not do them again and learn from them. And I am actually less concerned with what actually happened in the initial incident than what happened after. We want to hear from our teachers about general policy matters. We want to hear from all of our teachers, regardless of whether they believe what we believe. We want their input. But when it comes to personnel issues, it's very important that we stay outside and let Dr. Barnes do his job, because we are the last appeal, short of court. So, you know, if Dr. Barnes is not implementing it right, if he's too harsh, then they can come to us. But they can't if we're not impartial. We have to recuse ourselves. And then this teacher might have lost. If it ever came to us, now Mr. Merrick would have to recuse himself and have one less person that might vote for them. So this is, I think it's very important. This has nothing to do with our differences on LGBTQ issues or any of that, or the display policy. This has to do with, are we going to let Dr. Barnes do his job? And then are we going to respect our chair? There was a possible, when the initial suspension, which I believe is a disciplinary action, was made by our chair, if Dr. Merrick thought that he didn't violate the rules, our policies, if he thought that the punishment was too harsh, he could have appealed to our entire board, and we could have took it up and maybe found in his favor. But he didn't do that. Instead, he went around it and tried to sidestep her orders not to be on committees. So that, for those reasons, I think it's, and then he further exasperated by telling everybody on the committee about why this was happening.
David Perry is spot on. Tim Eric's all about is talking about all this procedure and all the things that should and shouldn't be followed. He never appealed the decision to the board as a whole, which he could have. He fancies himself a legal expert and a policy expert at this point. And as David Perry notes at the end, instead of dealing with the consequences of his own actions, he decided that he was going to go in public and turn it into a big trick and pony show about woe is me and all of the things that are happening are so unjust and so unfair. That's how he decided he was going to act. His decision, nobody else's. Nobody forced him to do that. Nobody forced him to go crying to WECT and to Port City Daily about how unfairly he was being treated. This could have easily been squashed internally. If Tim Merrick would have said, yeah, I acted like a jackass. I should not have acted in this manner. I'm going to rectify the situation. I'm sorry. Let's move forward. This meeting on Friday wouldn't have happened. But because Tim Merrick, who is an activist, admittedly so, because he wanted to act as an activist and act out as a Board of Education member, that's why the board had to take this up Friday afternoon. There is one person responsible for everything unfolding, and it's Tim Merrick. Nobody else. Not Melissa Mason, not Josie Barnhart, not Pat Bradford, not Pete Wildebohr, not David Perry, not Judy Justice. Everybody else is not responsible for this at all. It is Tim Merrick that is solely responsible for his own actions. But he's unwilling to admit that. And to go to the intent, there was an interesting point during the meeting that took place. Josie Barnhart, who is the vice chair of the Board of Education, asked to declassify or provide to the public an email exchange that Tim Merrick had with this educator. And in the first sentence of this email, it shows you the intent that Tim Merrick truly had, right? Because he keeps talking about, well, I was trying to do everything above board. It was not my intent to frustrate. It was not my intent to do this. It was not my intent to do that. If it was not Tim's intent, then why would he have sent this email to this same staff member that is in question? Take a listen to this.
The last email was, please don't share my recommendations with the board. You could use the same reasoning, along with your own very compelling reasons of why it's harmful policy with no upside. Be polite, but let them know how you've been affected. A colleague is having trouble with Outlook and may not be receiving your email. If she doesn't respond, take care and thank you for caring about our schools.
So let me stop that and restart it again. What was the first line there? What did he say to this educator? Not to do what?
The last email was, please don't share my recommendations with the board.
Do not share my recommendations with the board. Now, Tim, if you're doing everything above board, if you're doing everything just as the letter of policy reads, why would you be instructing a teacher not to inform your colleagues as to these conversations? You talk about intent. There's your intent. Don't tell my fellow board members what you and I are talking about. Don't tell my fellow board members the back and forth communication that we're having, implying he knew damn well what he was doing was wrong. You would never say that if you believe that everything that you're doing was above board, right, and just. You would only ever say that if you knew what you were doing was wrong. Tim Merrick admits that in an email. More from Josie Barnhart as she gives her comments on Tim Merrick here at the Board of Education on Friday.
On take care and thank you for caring about our schools. Subsequently, there was two other emails following the discussion, the one-on-one private discussion on multiple times that our board chair had with this individual, sharing and trying to direct how he is supposed to govern and follow policies, because it's important to help guide when someone is new on the board. I want to acknowledge and thank my colleague for publicly apologizing at this meeting. Our chair has brought this resolution forward because the attempts to work with the colleague have not been effective. And so it is coming before this body as discussion because we want to work as a cohesive unit. And we have been, the last few months, we have been more intentional about being transparent, being in schools. I was just in three yesterday, working and talking with our teachers. The point in this discussion today is to understand that it is our job to work together. Our chair is bringing forth the discussion that it has not been working and bringing us as a public body. The only way we are allowed to do business is in public. We cannot, the seven of us, sit down and have a conversation like this unless if it's open to all of you. And that is why we are here today. And this is the discussion.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Ms. Bernhardt. The discussion today is understanding that in order to be able to have that cohesion is to be able to have honest conversations about expectations and holding people to the same expectations. That's the only way that we are going to be able to govern collaboratively and effectively.
I thought very well said there by Vice Chair of the Board of Education, Josie Barnhart. The idea that there was no private conversations with Tim Merrick, the idea that nobody spoke to him, Melissa Mason, the Vice Chair, Josie Barnhart, nobody spoke to him, and all of a sudden he does one tiny little wrong thing, as Judy Justice admits, a rookie mistake. He's immediately hauled in front of the Board of Education and censured, is just not the story. And we can hear the full story. Because Melissa Mason, after reading that resolution earlier in the meeting, spoke about the conversations that she attempted to have with Tim Merrick. The conversations that she attempted to have with him that he was unwilling to follow through with. So let's hear it directly from the individual that brought it forward. Here's the board chair, Melissa Mason, towards the end of the meeting on Friday.
I met with Dr. Merrick on March 4th to discuss this and other ethics policy violations. I told him the consequence. We discussed in detail what this looked like. The attorney was with us as a witness, and to ensure that Dr. Merrick had the dignity and the respect that I wanted him to have. As a mom and a leader and a teacher, I have learned that when someone, if they have made a mistake, when they are confronted in a public forum, they react extremely negatively. They flip out, they retaliate, and so my goal for this board is if there is an issue, I will address each individual and not bring it to an entire audience of people. And I've done that. I've done that with other board members. Other board members have received consequences. So I met with Dr. Merrick. I gave him my decision, and we continued on. I followed up with that the following week to ensure that he received it and that he knew what was going on. And in that time frame, as he had mentioned, he reached out and participated in these committees as a private citizen, but also shared information that could identify this teacher.
Let me stop Melissa Mason right there. That is a key point in all of this. While he was doing his trick and pony show throughout the county, he was releasing information that she believes, and she, of course, has all of the information, right? Because in closed session, they're able to discuss. I presume all of the board members know the identity of this individual. They had a lengthy closed session during this meeting. She is under the impression that the information that he was relaying to the public could have identified that teacher, and she explains exactly how something like that is possible.
It could identify if you are a coworker of this teacher, you would figure out who it was. If you are a parent of a student in that teacher's classroom, you could figure out who it was. If you were a student in that classroom, you could figure out who it was. That was bad enough for me. We're trying to protect our teachers. We're trying to make sure that they have... We talk about respect, and we talk about free speech, but we're only allowing the free speech of the people that we agree with. You don't agree with me, and you are interrupting.
Props to Melissa Mason for calling out the left-wing lunatic activists in the crowd, right? Tim Merrick spent his entire thing, my First Amendment rights, and my rights are this, and my rights are that. Yet the entire board meeting, you've got a room full of radical Democrats that Tim Merrick brought to the meeting who are hooting and hollering, booing when board members speak, doing exactly what the left claims they don't. Right? EDI. Inclusion. All of these great things that the left talks about constantly, incessantly. Yet you put them in a position to hear what individuals have to say, to be inclusive and listen to both sides of the argument, and they act a fool. And then a member gets thrown out. You'll see it coming up here in the clip.
So if you do respect free speech, you will let me say my piece. This is an indicator that you do not. Continuing on. Okay, sir, can you please remove him? Officers, can you please remove this gentleman right here in the black shirt? Right here. You are being disruptive. This one, yes, please. It's all good.
The guy, he says, I don't care, I've got freedom of speech. It just goes to show you how the left understands literally nothing about freedom of speech. Literally zero. They don't even know what it means when they say it. They believe freedom of speech allows you, I guess, to say and do whatever you want in any setting. That's not how freedom of speech, that's not how the First Amendment is written at all.
It is imperative that we are fair with all board members, all board members. And whether people want to believe it or not, I have had conversations with Republican board members, given them consequences as well. It is my decision to make. And that is why I brought this forward.
You know, I will admit the irony in all of this is that Tim Merrick voted for Melissa Mason to be the chair of the Board of Education. And now, of course, she's bringing forward a motion to censure him for acting a fool. And here is the vote. This is how it played out towards the end of the meeting.
Going to take all of this into consideration moving forward. There is a motion on the table to approve the resolution. Ms. Bowie, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Perry?
Aye.
Ms. Justice?
Nay.
Ms. Bradford?
Yes.
Dr. Merrick?
No.
Mr. Bildebohr?
Yes.
Let me roll this back for a second. Did you hear what he says in his vote? Of course, he didn't turn his microphone on because he's an idiot. But, I mean, so this is what he says. They're going through the calling of the roll. This is what Tim Merrick says. Take a listen closely. I'll repeat.
Merrick?
His response to voting to censure him is, I don't think so. Just going to prove the fact that he's not taking any of this seriously at all. He claims all of this remorse and he's so sorry. And he votes, I don't think so, in favor of or not in favor of the motion to censure him. He's not taking this seriously at all. He's a left-wing progressive activist that is acting exactly the part.
Mr. Bildebohr?
Yes.
Ms. Barnhart?
Yes.
And Ms. Mason.
Yes, this passes 5-2.
And there it is. Passes 5-2. Said and done. Tim Merrick, who's been on the Board of Education 4 months, already censured by his colleagues. Why? Because he acted like a moron. Why? Because he decided that he was going to act out as a Board of Education member. Because he thinks policies are stupid. Because he thinks that they're disruptive and hurtful to the school system. It's not somebody that you want in public office, right? You don't get to pick and choose whether you follow laws, whether you follow rules, whether you follow policies. We've got some comments coming in this morning on our live show. Ellen is commenting from Wilmington this morning and says, Dr. Tim has a martyr complex, it seems. He spoke so condescendingly to the audience. Lots of narcissistic vibes coming from him. Ellen, it's pretty hard to argue that. I mean, you just listen to his comments and just even there at the end. Are you in favor of the motion or not?
I don't think so.
I know I can't repeat him directly. I don't have my fedora with me this morning, so I can't exactly mimic Tim Merrick.
I don't think so.
Because he's not taking it seriously. Because it's not serious for him. And then he goes once again after the meeting and goes crying to the media. This was his quote over at WECT. Quote, I want to know this. Who wins? What does this serve? We all need to take a step back a little and think about our teachers, our students, and the quality of our education. No ability to accept any sort of remorse at all. And one of the best quotes is from David Perry after the meeting. Quote, "I don't think it's a waste. I wish that Dr. Merrick had worked this out a week or so ago." And that's really what needs to be said. If Tim Merrick was so concerned about this, if he was so remorseful in all of his actions, he could have worked this out with the board chair. He could have apologized to her weeks ago. They met on March, 4th, she said? So over a month ago? He could have spent that entire month trying to gain the trust back of the chair. He could have spent that month trying to work with her and his fellow colleagues to regain trust and prove that he was capable of following policies and procedures as written and enacted by the school board. But he chose not to. He just chose to continue to act as an activist. He chose to continue to put his own political, personal ideology ahead of the rest of the Board of Education. And that's not a surprise, because we know the left is incapable of acting normal when anything comes up that surrounds their political identity and ideology. They just can't do it. They're incapable of it. Case in point, this board meeting on Friday. Case in point, the educator that decided to fly a pride flag in the classroom, knowing damn well that it was against policy. And so say it with me, ladies and gentlemen, what is this another great example of? Actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. Tim Merrick wants to act in this manner. Tim Merrick wants to act in this way, he's going to be held responsible for it. There are going to be consequences for his actions. Now, I can only imagine from watching and listening and seeing everything on Friday that Tim Merrick will continue to act like this. He will continue to be disruptive. He will continue to act out. I don't believe for a second that he's sorry about anything. That was a piss poor last minute attempt to try and sway members of that Board of Education not to vote in favor of that censure. That's what that attempt was. That half-assed, disingenuous apology that he brought forward was nothing more than an attempt to try and sway people at the last second. If he was truly sorry about this, if he truly understood what he did and the actions that were the result of it, if he truly understood any of that, he would have called Melissa Mason a month ago, apologized to her, and said, "I'm sorry, I acted like an idiot, I'm done, this is ridiculous, we need to get back to education, teachers, our students, and the quality of education, and put this beside us." But he didn't do that. He continued to act like an activist. He continued to act like a radical progressive that he is. And this was the end result. No sympathy. I have zero sympathy for Tim Merrick. Zero. So now he's been censured. Doesn't change anything. Doesn't throw him off the Board of Education. There's no recall measure. They can't throw him off the board. And so we'll see in the coming months if he's actually sorry about the way that he acts, the condescending, entitled tone that he uses on the Board of Education, right? When he's referring to other board members not by their name, when he's purposefully acting like a complete and total tool during these school board meetings. We'll see if any of that changes after this censure. My guess, and if I were a gambling man, I'd say I wouldn't put a dollar on the fact that he's going to change his way at all. Because at the end of the day, Tim Merrick is a radical progressive Democrat who is going to act as a radical progressive Democrat. Plain and simple. There's no other way around it. So there you go, Tim. Congratulations. You've been on the board 4 months and you've already been censured by your colleagues. Great work. I'm sure that's helping students, teachers, and the quality of the education that you claim you care so much about. So there you go. There you have it. That's going to do it for a Monday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Don't forget that you can get access to bonus content, including our monthly hangout, by heading on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig. We'll do it again tomorrow morning, live, 7 o'clock, YouTube, Rumble, and X. And of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcast. Have a great Monday.